I want to read some verses just now in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. It's a very familiar story as we look at someone else whom the Lord Jesus Christ met on the pathway of life. We've been thinking on Sunday nights of the people that Jesus met. And we turn tonight to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 35. We read, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Amen. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Luke reminds us here of one of the people whom Jesus met. He simply referred to as a certain man. When you and I read the parallel passages in Matthew 20 and Mark 10, we see that this man is called Bartimaeus. And I'm sure from our earliest days in Sunday school that we have been brought time and time again to look at this man whom we referred to as blind Bartimaeus. For the time that remains tonight, I simply want to mention three very simple things about him. And I hope that what we consider together will cause us tonight to look at ourselves in the light of God's word. I note first of all the desperation that marked this man's life. This poor man was to be pitied. In just a few brief statements, Luke brings home to our hearts the condition that this man was living in. For here's what we read in verse 35. "It came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." Just a few simple statements. And yet statements that open up for us a picture that tell us the kind of man that Bartimaeus was, and the kind of condition that marked this man's life. You'll note that Bartimaeus was blind. He couldn't see. And there's no doubt that in his day, his lack of sight would have been a great hindrance to him. Nowadays, there's so much more available for people who are blind or partially sighted, and they can be helped and encouraged as they face that disability. But in Bartimaeus' day, things were very much different. Here he was outside Jericho as the crowd gathered to see Jesus. He didn't know what was going on. He couldn't enter into the spirit of things. He couldn't look at the face of Christ who had come to be the light of the world. He was blind and totally dependent on others to take him from place to place. He was greatly handicapped. And because of his condition, there was nothing he could do to bring about change. Do you know, the sad reality is that what Bartimaeus was physically, so men and women are spiritually in the sight of God, spiritually blind. So blind that we cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his beauty and in all his great glory. So blind that we cannot begin to grasp and understand even some of these things that have already been shared tonight through testimony and in word of song. And it's understandable that that's the case, because the Word of God reminds us tonight that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's the reason why tonight we cannot grasp the simple truth of the gospel. That's why tonight some of you are still not saved. You're not able to understand your need of a Savior. You don't even understand your sin. You don't even understand that you're separated from God. You don't even understand how far away from God you've gone. And the reason for that is that the devil has blinded your eyes and so blinded your mind that you don't see your true self and you don't see your true state in the sight of a holy God. You cannot even see Jesus Christ for all that he is in himself. And that's why you don't understand what he has done for you at the cross. You cannot see the emptiness of your own life without him, because Satan has blinded you to the truth. As Bartimaeus was physically, so men and women are spiritually in their sin. In the sight of God, they're spiritually blind. But not only Bartimaeus was blind, I note Bartimaeus was a beggar. What moving, sad, solemn words these are when it says he sat by the wayside begging. Here's a man who had reached desperation point in his life. In his day when so many were like him, and of course there were many beggars, we discover that there was little hope of this man getting enough to make ends meet. He was really destitute. He was a rather pathetic, forlorn figure, sitting down and out at the side of the road with a little cup probably beside him, crying out for others to give him some kind of assistance so that he might get on with life and enjoy the very, very basics of life that others all around him would have taken so much for granted. This man was an outcast. As far as society was concerned, he was down and out. He was totally destitute. Sometimes we complain about the things that we don't have. But you know something? We're much better off than we think. I remember one night watching a program dealing with the poor who lived in India. Some families were living 4 and 5 families to one room, lying on the floor, lying wherever they could just to get a night's rest. They had no sanitation. They had no food. They had no money. All they had was the clothes that they wore on their back. And the word that was used time and time again was this: look at these people. This is a true picture of destitution. They were down and out, and Bartimaeus was in that kind of state. And the reality is this: without the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and living in sin, that's where we are spiritually destitute. God has given us all things in Christ richly to enjoy, but we choose to live like paupers because we choose sin instead of salvation. We choose to go our own way instead of going God's way. We choose to live the way that we are, even though God has the very best in store for us in Christ, and we often, instead of Christ, we choose a way of want and pleasure and empty living. The problem is we don't grasp just how meaningless such a life is. We don't seem to understand that that kind of life not only leads us further away from God, but it's empty, futile living, because we never seem to get the things that we need. We never seem to be satisfied. It's as if we're drinking always at a well that never satisfies and never gives us what our souls are craving for. That's possible, of course. The Lord Jesus Christ one day met a woman, and he explained to her that wonderful truth. She was the woman of Samaria. We refer to her as the woman at the well. She was a sinful woman, and she knew it. She had come in the heat of the day when there was nobody else near the well, and she had come there so that she wouldn't be seen, so that she wouldn't be recognized, And there was the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the well when he began to talk to her and when he began to expose to her the type of woman that she was. And Jesus went on to speak to her about living water. He told her that he had come to give her something that could meet her deep spiritual need, something that could satisfy the thirst that she had deep down inside, something that she had never yet found in the world in which she lived, through the pleasures that she enjoyed, and through one husband after another that she had disposed of. She had everything she thought, but Jesus said she hadn't got the one thing that really mattered. She needed living water. She needed something and someone who could satisfy her thirst. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ had come to do. And he said this to her, "Whosoever shall drink of the water that I give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And she took the Lord Jesus Christ's words to heart. She believed that day what the Lord Jesus Christ had said to her. And that's why she left her water pot and she ran into the town and she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all things that ever I did." She found in Jesus Christ everything that her soul needed. And I want to say to you tonight that you could do the same. Tom in his testimony has been talking about his relationship with Jesus Christ through some very dark, difficult days, because as a church we were praying for him through those days. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was that friend to him that sticketh closer than a brother. And he found in the Lord Jesus Christ the peace that he needed and everything that he needed. He found it in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And friend, listen tonight, I don't know who you are. I don't know how you're living. I don't know the things that you're grasping for in life in order that you might find some kind of satisfaction. But I do know this, if you're not looking to Jesus Christ, you're looking in all the wrong places. And yet if you'd come in repentance and in faith and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, my, not only would you be fully satisfied, you could taste of the Lord and see that he is good. The hymn writer says, "He's not a disappointment. He is all in all to me. Blessed Savior, sanctifier, the unchanging Christ is he. He has won my heart's affections and he meets my every need. He is not a disappointment, for he satisfies indeed." You say to me tonight, "But what can the Lord Jesus Christ give me that I don't already have?" Well, I'm not talking here in terms of monetary things. You could have a bank book that's full of money. You could have one of the best homes in the country. You could be at the top of your profession in one of the greatest jobs that you could ever hope to have. You could have all of those things and at the end of the day have nothing for eternity. I'm not talking in terms of monetary things. I'm talking in terms of spiritual things. Listen, friend. In Christ tonight, you could have your sins forgiven. Every last one of them washed away, cleansed in the precious blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross for sinners just like you and me. You could have every one of your sins forgiven. You could be set free. You could enjoy the blessing of God's salvation. You could embrace right here and right now eternal life that is a gift from God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'll tell you something. When you put all of that alongside everything that's in temporal value tonight, having Jesus Christ and the joy of sins forgiven, you couldn't compare the two. You could have in Christ everything that you need. But you'll have to understand first of all your true state. You're spiritually blind. You're spiritually destitute, but Christ can give you sight and Christ can give you that which shall satisfy the longing in your soul just now. The desperation that marked this man's life I want you to note the determination that marked this man's life. What a lovely story this is. Even though he was blind and couldn't see, he was able to hear. For that day, as the crowds have gathered in Jericho, something's happening and he knows it. This is not like every other day. He has perhaps sat here for a number of days in the same place, crying out for alms, looking for somebody to meet him at the point of need, somebody just to help him through another difficult day. But this day is different. And it's different because Jesus was there, and there's a crowd who are thronging after the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows there's something happening in Jericho, and he's determined to find out. And then Luke tells us this. As he sensed the atmosphere of the whole occasion, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And in the midst of his awful desperation, there was hope. This was the best news that he could have hoped for. It was to have a great effect in Bartimaeus' life. For listen to him as he cries out. Knowing that Jesus is in the area, that Jesus is passing through Jericho. Listen to him as he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He knew what he wanted. He also knew what he needed the most, and that was mercy. He knew for him this was a great opportunity. He couldn't afford to pass him by. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the midst. And if he's going to be helped and he's going to be healed, he has to get the attention of the Lord Jesus. He must cry out to him, for Jesus Christ is the only hope that this man has. And he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Can I say two things about that? The first is this, that whatever your state tonight, Jesus Christ is the only one who can meet your need. You can look for salvation in all kinds of places, and you can engage yourself in all kinds of things. But in the light of eternity, if you ever hope to be in heaven and know your sins forgiven, Jesus Christ is the only one who can meet you at the point of your need. And here's the second thing. You'll have to come as a sinner. A sinner who's spiritually blind and spiritually bankrupt. And throw yourself on the mercy of Christ. The lamplighters have just been singing, have they not? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee. For dress. You see, you and I tonight don't deserve the least of God's mercy. But tonight you and I, we can come and throw ourselves on the mercy of God, and we can know his pardon, and we can know his forgiveness, and we can know his cleansing, and we can embrace his salvation. Friend, there are many things perhaps in your life that you feel that you desperately need, but there's nothing more important than the mercy of God. You'll remember we read a parable in the Bible referred to often as the Pharisee and the publican. They enter a temple. The Pharisee is so taken up with himself, he can't see any wrong in himself. He comes in and he stands in the temple and he tells God the wonderful fellow that he is. He tells God who he is and all the things that he has done. And there he stands in the presence of God, telling God the wonderful man that he is. But there's another man there. He's a publican. He sees himself for what he is and he's so disgusted with himself that he can't even lift up his head toward heaven. In fact, this man bows his head in the temple and he beats upon his chest and he asks for exactly the same thing as Bartimaeus did. But he put it like this. He said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Friend, it's mercy that we all need. It's grace that we all need. If our circumstances are going to change and our state is going to change, you and I cannot change it ourselves. We need outside help. And God tonight is willing to show us mercy if we'll call upon Him and turn from our sin and leave it. You notice Bartimaeus didn't allow the crowd to distract him. Jesus was the only hope of change he had. He didn't ask for money. Money would have alleviated his situation, but when the money was done, the blindness was still there. He'd been back again begging. He didn't even ask for his sight. Even though his sight restored would have left him with a better opportunity to get out of his present state, the one thing he asked for and the one thing he needed the most was mercy. And when he sought it, he wasn't disappointed. Because as the story unfolds for us, you'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ deals with this man. And he changes his whole life. You say to me, but how can God show forgiveness to a deep-dyed sinner like me? How can God really look upon me so favorably when he knows the state of my heart inside, when he knows the life that I've lived, when he knows all the things that I have done, when God sees me, not the way that others see me, but when God sees me for what I am and he sees the rottenness that's inside me and my heart, how can God show me mercy? How can God ever forgive me? One word, Calvary. He can forgive you and he can forgive me on the basis of the fact that one day on a cross at Calvary, a man who knew no sin and did no sin was willing to die on that cross to take the sinner's place. And that man was the very man that Bartimaeus cried out to for mercy, the Lord Jesus. He came into the world to go all the way to the cross at Calvary, to suffer and to bleed and to die, to hang upon that center cross and to give his own life's blood in order that your sins and mine might be dealt with, in order that God's justice might be met, in order that there might be opportunity for you and I to get saved. And we can be saved tonight and we can be shown mercy because of what Christ has done in our guilty room instead. If I was to wait until the end of life and then to the very end of the whole of eternity, I would never deserve the mercy of God. I would never merit salvation, not a bit of it. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will accept me. And God will forgive me because Christ on the cross did for me what I could never do for myself. And on account of Him, God is waiting and willing to cleanse me, to pardon me, and to forgive me. And He'll do exactly the same for you. Let me mention one other thing. Not just the desperation that marked this man's life, a beggar and totally blind. The determination that marked his life, he looked for the one thing that he knew he desperately needed, and that was mercy. I note here the devotion that marked this man's life. Jesus came to him, said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. What a wonderful change in this man's life had been wrought. And all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting. We're not told it here in Luke's Gospel, but we're told it in Mark's Gospel. In Luke's Gospel, we're simply saying, verse 40, Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. But here's what Mark says. As he shouted for the mercy that he so desperately needed, Mark records this. It says, be of good comfort. He calleth thee. Be of good comfort. He calleth thee. If it was mercy that he needed, it was mercy that he'd receive. Could you imagine how sweet those words must have sounded in Bartimaeus' ears? Bartimaeus, Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way and he's calling for you. For me? A blind beggar? A man in a helpless, hopeless state, spending my existence sitting, depending on others and a few pence here and there. You say Jesus is calling for me? Yes, Bartimaeus, Jesus is calling for you. And Bartimaeus must grasp the opportunity. For Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to the cross. He will never come this way ever again. Bartimaeus, Jesus is calling for you. And Bartimaeus must come now, or he'll never come at all. Wonder tonight how often you've sat in a meeting like this. Not just once, but maybe many, many times. And Jesus has been calling for you. Anne, come to me that you might be saved. John, come to me that you might be saved. I wonder how often he's called you to himself. But unlike Bartimaeus, you've been so taken up with other things that you didn't grasp the opportunity. And maybe didn't realize that Jesus might call you just once more and never pass your way ever again. You could hesitate when he calls you and miss your day of opportunity. You could contemplate and have a heart and a head that's filled with theology and yet never have salvation. Or you could procrastinate, trail your feet and look forward to another time, and another time never come. Jesus is maybe calling you tonight. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. There was a man we read of in the scriptures, and with this I'll close. A man by the name of Felix. On many occasions he invited the Apostle Paul to come and to relate to him the truth of the gospel. He'd send for Paul and Paul would reason with him face to face about his need, speaking about sin and judgment and all the things pertaining to Felix's need. And the Bible tells us that Felix was moved. In fact, it says that Felix trembled. But we're never told that Felix trusted in what Paul said. But you know what he did say? He said, go your way, Paul, when I have a more convenient time. I'll send for you. But Felix moved on, and that time never came, and his opportunity passed him by. Bartimaeus, he's calling for you. And Bartimaeus came and went on his way rejoicing, for Jesus changed him completely. He's calling for you tonight. Will you do what Bartimaeus did and come to the Savior? Or like Felix, will you wait for a more convenient time? It's my responsibility to tell you that time might never come again. Now let's bow together in prayer. Father, we praise you for the ministry and song tonight and for Tom's testimony. We thank you for all that we have already learned through that. And our prayer is, our Father, that you might draw us nearer tonight to your sight. And for some who are not yet saved, that you'd bring them in repentance and faith to yourself, that they might find forgiveness and pardon and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask our Father your blessing upon the young people later on tonight as they go out to fellowship with others. You'll take them safely there and bring them safely home. We pray that you'll bless in the open air witness. And we pray you'll bless your word wherever it goes forth. Remember the girls again in Drumore, and every meeting like our own coming to a close, as the call of the Lord Jesus Christ goes out to some, may they respond in faith and seek the Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen.